The December 5th rain report is coming down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the frozen Minneapolis studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. A great many of us got into ham radio before we knew much about the nuts and bolts of the equipment we began to use. One exception is Brian Hoyer, K7UDR, a techie type that Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, interviewed at the Rain Booth at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention.
I got motivated to get my license back in 2000. I bought a big boat and was going to sail around the world and thought, I'm interested in this stay in touch with everyone by HF email, sail mail. That was 2000. So I bought this boat and got the license and sailed as far as Mexico, and it was too hot for me, so I sold the boat and moved to the Northwest where it was cooler and never really did anything with my ham license until about 2007 when I moved to the islands. And then I got involved with the local club group, the San Juan County Amateur Radio Society. And it was about the first club meeting I went to, they rolled out their new MCOM solution. And they told me they had this wonderful system where by combining a radio and a TNC and a bunch of cables and a laptop and a computer, they could operate at 1,200 baud, and I was totally underwhelmed.
What did you decide you needed to do to no longer be underwhelmed, but to be overwhelmed?
Well, I spent about 25 years in Silicon Valley building small companies and electronics of various kinds in a bunch of different areas. I just started studying the problem to figure out what happened, and I ended up meeting a guy on another island that coincidentally we worked a block apart. I did hardware, he did software, but we'd never met for some reason. And so we set about and picked up a little device called a Shiba plug, which is a little cheapy Linux thing, and started working on the problem. Marvell sponsored it. It's a single-chip Linux computer. If we were to start over today, you'd call it a Raspberry Pi. And we got it to the point where we thought, let's build a radio because a lot of folks are talking about D-Star and higher speeds, and a lot of folks are building accessories that are around that community, but nobody had really decided to build an all-out D-Star radio except for ICOM. So we went down the pike and said, we're going to build a multi-mode packet, Winlink, APRS, D-Star, standing, singing, does it all radio.
And did you?
Yes, we did. We actually launched it last year at Hamvention. We were early then and we knew it. We were hoping to ship late last year, but we went into an RF redesign at that point because we weren't happy with the RF performance. Before you can build a good digital radio, you have to build a good radio. We went away from the single chip solution because the RF performance when everything is inside the same chip is much less than what you get if you do things in a more discrete method. So we went to not a software defined radio, but a software configurable radio with a protocol and modem and software driving an IQ transceiver and associated circuitry.
For we who are not very electronically adept, what does that mean?
If you stick everything in the same package, all the high frequencies like to chat with each other because they're all neighbors, and by spreading it out and optimizing it individually, you get a much higher performance for all of the important specifications, such as interference between channels and sensitivity and selectivity and all those normal RF kind of parameters.
Anybody get on the bandwagon like Tapper or the guy behind Raspberry Pi, Evan Upton?
No, but let me talk a little bit about the team. So I mentioned Basil, N7NIX, the software guy that I alluded to before. He and I got together, and that's where the Tapper connection comes in. We happened to go to a DCC in Vancouver, Washington, where a gentleman was giving a slide presentation on D-Star. At the time, I was totally focused on packet. And this gentleman did a nice presentation, and at the end, he had one slide that said, things I wish somebody would make. And on that was a headless, network-controlled digital radio. No knobs, no buttons, no switches. That was John K7DE. He joined our team.
You're listening to a conversation between Brian Hoyer, K7UDR, and Rains Hapali, KC9RP, from the 2013 Dayton Hamvention.
It's interesting. The conventional radio has knobs and switches and buttons and menus to control everything. In a lot of radios, you can detach that, so they call that the radio head. I just went to a show where they're giving away radios, and they said it comes with a free head separation kit. Well, all of our radios have a free head separation kit because the knobs and buttons are on a web interface on a computer or iPad or phone someplace else. So it's headless.
What is your goal or your aim for the headless radio?
Well, let me back up a little bit and mention one other individual. When we did that RF redesign, we brought in another guy, Dennis Rosenauer, AC7FT, and he's the one who headed up the RF design to really give us a first-class radio. Now that we had a first-class RF section and a decent amount of computing power, let's get back to your question and talk about, why bother to do this? A thing I have noticed is that there seems to be some fighting. I wouldn't even call it fighting. There's some controversy in amateur radio about moving to digital and digital protocols and which one should we pick. And there have been some players who are advocating bringing commercial specs in. My vision is, what if instead of trying to drag a commercial spec, which may or may not be a good fit, into amateur radio, we are amateurs, we're experimenters. Why don't we build a platform which enables the amateur community to participate in defining how we operate? We've got the transmit chain working, and we're in the middle of the receive chain optimization. Once that's complete, we have some manufacturing issues to do and some heat sink and duty cycle stuff with the power section, and we should push it to production this fall.
And do you know what it will be called? Officially?
It's called the UDR-56K. That's the Universal Digital Radio. And the 56K is for the top data rate, although I think next year we're going to blow right by that.
Will this be made available as assembled or kit form?
This is available. It's all high-density surface mount, so it's available as a complete product. It's about 4 by 6 inches. Some folks call it the red brick because it's about the size of a brick with a big heat sink on top.
What kind of price class would it fall into?
By way of comparison, it's about the price of a good dual-band mobile, so it's less than $400, and there's some discounts available on our website.
What website will it be available from?
You would go to www.nwdigitalradio.com. www.nwdigitalradio.com. One more thing. On that headless part, it's a browser-based interface, so we don't have to load any software on your computer, so it runs on your PC or Mac or laptop or Linux or Android or iPad, or we even have a demo here at it with a smartphone. Android and iPhone are both supported now.
Will this be available for worldwide distribution?
We started accepting pre-orders on April 1st. I think it's always important to release any piece of vaporware on the 1st of April. In the first month, we picked up about 250 orders in 13 countries on 4 continents. I think it's a really good start. We put it all up in a map on our website because for anything new, one of the big questions people have is, well, if I buy one, who will I talk to? And when you look at the map, you get the picture that a lot of folks are digging in. My email is k7udr@nwdigitalradio.com.
Brian Hoyer, K7UDR, speaking with Rains Hapali, KC9RP, at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.